Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, I am blessed to look to the Bible with you once again this Lord's Day morning in the worship of the one true and living God, the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth, the God who has made all things, who has created all people, and who saves his people from their sins through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to his name. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Learn more about our ministry, Mission East Africa, Uganda, at www.missionafricajk.simplesite.com. The Lord is ever faithful. He is truly good and gracious in all of his ways. And in his plan today, we continue in Ephesians chapter 6. My friends, hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Praise the Lord. My friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, once again we call out to you, we cry out, O God, that you would open up the word of God and that your gracious spirit would come and teach us once again the treasures that are found in these excellent and wonderful holy words. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Thank you that you lead us to see by the Spirit that we must wrestle against evil, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, and that graciously you teach us how we are to wrestle. And so we pray that once again, truth, the teaching of truth would come to us, and that we would be impacted by it, that you will have your glory in the church, and that your sweet and gracious spirit would once again exalt the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome all evil for us, his people. We give you thanks and praise. You are mighty and gracious, God. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. My friends, we're continuing today to answer the question, how do we wrestle against principalities and powers? And we looked at verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, last Lord's Day. Let me quickly summarize what we saw in those verses. We made mention that this fight is not a fleshly, limited fight, which is influenced by sin. It's not a carnal fight, but it is a spiritual fight. That is, it is of the Spirit of the one true and living God. It is spiritual, from the Spirit, of the Spirit, and therefore it is an unlimited fight in the sense that we wrestle against evil with the unlimited resources, the power and might, the gracious enablements of the Spirit of God, and that these influences in our spiritual wrestling are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. And so, remarkably, once again, we note that this spiritual striving, this is a spiritual battle that has been initiated by the Spirit of God in the hearts of God's people, all in his great purposes of leading his true people, the elect of God, to ultimate victory and conquest over evil in their receiving of eternal life. And we saw in those verses in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 through 6 that believers are to overcome as Paul did by yielding the sword of the Spirit and by prayer. That Paul had a special apostolic empowerment. This was really unique to the apostles of the apostolic age alone. And that in this special apostolic empowerment, Paul was able to govern the church, to perform miracles. In this very specific case, he was empowered, as the other apostles were, to cast out demons. And so Paul also exercised this special empowerment that is not common to all believers or to all believers through church history. But this was a unique empowerment given to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I also mentioned to you 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. And at this point, I want to turn there. Follow along, read along in your Bible as you can. 2 Corinthians 11 through 13. And it says here, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. And then let's also read verse 14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. And so, my friends, we see in this section of verses, as we also saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verses 1 through 6, that Paul is dealing with the issue in the Corinthian church of they're being greatly influenced by fleshly people, by false apostles that Paul has identified are really servants of Satan. And Paul has come into conflict because he contends with these false apostles who are bringing their lies, false doctrine, false ideas to the Corinthians. And in some part, the Corinthian church bought into the devil's lies. They were influenced by these false doctrines and teachings. They were influenced because Paul was personally attacked by these false apostles. One of the strategies of Satan working through them was to discredit the apostle, to discredit his authority as an apostle. And so in this section of verses, he reminds the Corinthian church of the signs of an apostle. And he states clearly that he is an apostle. It is necessary for Paul to come against false wisdom and sophisticated arguments that Satan was using through these false apostles. And so Paul is adept at sharing the truth, at setting the record straight. And though the Corinthians had been deceived and deluded by the message of the false apostles, and they had begun to believe the wisdom of the world again, Paul brings powerfully spiritual wisdom, that is the wisdom of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. True wisdom. He also calls the gospel the foolishness of God to the Corinthian Christians. And in this, Paul will see that the inroads of these opponents, Satan's servants, will be overcome. He will oppose them. He will shepherd the church. He will protect God's flock. He will shower them with truth. He will proclaim the truth to them again. And in this powerful ministry, he, in a sense, reclaims them from the error that the enemy was seeking to bring them into. And in this sense, he casts down arguments, these prideful ideas, these high things, and he wars to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience to Christ, because he knows that as every thought is taken captive in obedience to Christ, then the person, the believer, will belong much more fully to Christ and will be faithful to stand in the truth. And so Paul powerfully calls the Corinthians to truth and thereby to repentance from their sins. And he also calls them to oppose the false apostles. Paul states here that in his unique empowerment as an apostle, he is prepared to discipline them, that is, to punish them if necessary. Once again, Paul's unique empowerment in his apostolic ministry, he was able to perform true miracles. God was working through him. He was able to wisely counsel, teach the church, govern the church, and he is empowered to discipline the church or punish their disobedience to bring them to obedience to Christ once again. And in this way, he overcomes Satan's demonic influences, which are real. He deals with them in this true biblical way and thereby wins the Corinthians, moves them to obedience to God, so that they too will hold to the truth in love and holiness and war in the Word of God and prayer, and therefore wrestle for the truth. And we said last Lord's Day too that John MacArthur has brought to our attention the necessity of really knowing the signs of an apostle. This is such an important point, and we want to take now to consider this point this morning, the signs of an apostle. And let me continue in a quote by John MacArthur, which is so helpful at this point. He relates these thoughts to this issue of the real identity and the real work of the true apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me continue now with his quote. Now let me go a step further. No apostle after the resurrection and ascension of Christ ever was hassled in exercising demons. It was always a matter of authority, and that was apostolic authority. And as I've said before, we don't feel that today we have that authority, but today we have a different kind of authority. Be careful, beloved. Satan has really deluded an awful lot of people in this whole area of exorcism. And Satan didn't work this time. That demon didn't leave, and those people ran out of there panicked. Boy, you know, some people have had the idea that these exorcists, that they're really done the job. They've really cast out devils. And so the last part of this quote is a reference in John MacArthur's teaching to instances in the Bible, particularly in the book of Acts, where unbelieving people attempted to exorcise demons in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that this really turned against them. And that is that the demons, Satan, overpowered and harmed them. They were not true believers. They were merely using the phrase, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to cast out demons by the power of Christ, saying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were not believers, and so they were overcome by the enemy. MacArthur makes the point clearly that Paul was a true apostle, Paul had a true ability to work miracles in that God did miracles through him, special miracles through him and the other apostles, and that they indeed performed the miracle of casting out demons. Now, let me make this point clearly, that in the New Testament record, casting out demons is always a true biblical miracle. And why was Paul, why were the true apostles, remember there were 12 that were chosen by Christ, Judas as an unbeliever betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and died in his sin. There was another believer who had known the teaching of the Lord from the beginning of the Lord's ministry, who had witnessed the life, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthias, he is appointed an apostle in Judas's place. And then God brings Paul into the apostleship sometime later as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now these 13 men, if we count Judas as an apostle, he would be number 14, but these 13 apostles who were alive during the first decades of the Christian church and who had in a great part a ministry, a God-given ministry in they're receiving the holy canon of God, working with the prophets. The prophets assisted the apostles who received the very words of God by the Spirit. The canon was completed in due time. The last words from God were completed through the Apostle John, and the New Testament scripture and the entire scripture, Old and New Testaments, were completed. The work of the apostles in receiving the word of God as prophets and declaring the word of God in this apostolic prophetic ministry was fulfilled. The word of God was confirmed. The word that came to the apostles and the prophets was confirmed by the miraculous ability that the true apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ had. The real point that we're making is that true miracles are a sign of an apostle. And so let's continue now and look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 a bit more fully. There in verse 11, Paul has been accused of being foolish by the false apostles, and that poisoning of the mind has so influenced the Corinthians that some of the Corinthians have also come to believe that Paul, their spiritual father, the founder of the church, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the prophet of God, who has received the truth of God, faithfully preached it in the power of an apostle in this unique authority, is indeed a fool. And so Paul responds to this, and he says, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. Another argument of the false apostles is that Paul, as a foolish man, was also a boastful man. With a bit of sarcasm, that is, Paul is restating what his opponents had said of him, which indeed were not true, but he restates their criticisms and he says, I have become a fool in boasting. He was accused of foolishness. He was accused of boasting. And so he says, you have compelled me. In other words, he is communicating that it is necessary for him to respond to these lies that have been said against him. And he is compelled to respond because he cares deeply for the Corinthians and their welfare. And he knows that if the Corinthians believe these lies about him and come to believe that his teaching, the true teaching of God, is a foolish boasting, that they will be greatly harmed, that the church will be greatly harmed. And so he says, I have been compelled to respond. He also states there that he should have been commended by the Corinthians. In other words, they should have spoken of the great and honorable work that God did through him. But indeed, many of them have done just the opposite. They have sided with the lie. They have criticized him severely. And he says, I was in nothing behind the most eminent apostles. Again, at this time, some of them are more eminent. We would think of Peter, for instance, who was the great leader of the apostles in Jerusalem and also later in various aspects of the churches throughout the world. And we would think of John, perhaps. We would think of James, his brother, who was martyred as an eminent apostle. And so Paul says that in nothing was he less than these great and eminent men. In fact, he is defending his ministry here, and he is really telling them that he is on a level with the eminent apostles. At another point, he says that he labored more than all of them in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is indeed an eminent apostle. In defense of the truth, he declares this. He makes this right and straight and clear for the Corinthians that they may be saved by the truth. And notice, though, that he says, though I am nothing, in himself, personally, Paul is nothing, but God has appointed him to be an eminent apostle. And in verse 12, he says, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you. In other words, Paul showed his true apostleship to the Corinthians. They witnessed with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That speaks of miraculous workings, the truth of his apostleship. And they criticized him that he was unfair to the Corinthian churches. At one point, they said that he was proud that he would not receive monies from them, that he was so proud that he refused their gifts. He makes right that accusation, and that he says that he did not receive their funds for them out of love for them, that he did not want them to think that he was using them for their money. He did not want to be a burden to them in this sense. He refused their money that he might declare the truth to them, that they might see that he was a true apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not after money as the false apostles were. And in a rather ironic way, he says, forgive me for this wrong. They took this as an offense against them, as a harm to them, that he did not take their money. And so let's really focus here on verse 12, the signs of an apostle. And let me share with you now the thoughts of another Bible expositor, a teacher. He writes, according to common understanding, the signs of an apostle were simply miracles, wonders, and mighty deeds. Yet, throughout this epistle, Paul points to other marks that distinguish him from the false apostles, the changed lives of the Corinthians in chapter 3. The blameless character of his ministry in chapter 6, as we're seeing, chapter 7, chapter 8. His genuine love for his churches in chapter 6, in chapter 12, and chapter 11. And his sacrificial endurance of suffering, chapter 11 and chapter 6. In addition to these marks, Paul is ready to mention miraculous signs, but not to dwell on them. And so amazingly, this comment is very helpful. We see that Paul is not putting forth as the first sign, in a sense, these miraculous empowerments that these apostles uniquely had and had uniquely at that time. He is also presenting to them these other aspects of the mark of an apostle. And so now we have a better handle on what the signs of an apostle really are. The false apostles were lacking all of these signs. They deceived others. Let me mention again that only God can work a true biblical miracle. The devil can only deceive. And so the devil may work spiritually through deceptions which the undiscerning would think of as true biblical miracles, but they are not indeed true biblical miracles. They are satanic deceptions, false miracles. The apostles had the ability, God was working through them to perform true miracles. And Paul came with the truth as it was from God. Again, these are confirming aspects. These are characteristics of a true apostle. Paul's true love for them would be understood by these spiritually discerning. Paul's sacrificial endurance, his suffering for their welfare, would also be understood. And so, praise the Lord. His ability to govern the church and discipline the church to exercise this unique apostolic ability would also be seen in the church. Praise God. That helps us to prepare for the next things we want to say about how do we wrestle against principalities and powers. How do we really fight in this spiritual warfare? But our time is gone for today, and so we'll need to continue at this point next Lord's Day. Let me just remind you by way of summary that the Bible here is clearly teaching believers to wrestle against principalities and powers by the proclamation of the Word of God, by obedience and faith in the Word of God, and by prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the precious truth that really liberates us. And I pray once again that these truths we have discussed today, I have brought to the people, I have proclaimed, would really reach their very hearts, and you would bring light and insight, just as you have to me, in this crucial issue of spiritual warfare. And I thank you, Lord, for my persuasions that I have come to see and believe and know that I am called to wrestle in the proclamation of the truth and in prayer. And so impress that truth deeply upon our hearts and continue to teach us wonderful things and enable us to overcome in spiritual battle. And I ask it for the glory of God and for the welfare of your church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.